disco.
Hello, lovely listeners.
Oh, that was cute, wasn't it?
That was really cute. As you like struggled to get into your jar of kombucha.
Got a bit of vibrato on my voice.
Yeah, that was lovely.
Hello. We're having a bit of a You're Right Babes first today, actually.
Yeah.
So the guest that we have on today that we are recording with, we actually recorded back in May?
1998.
Yeah, it feels like it. It feels like a long time ago.
Very long time
ago. So we recorded with this wonderful guest a long, long time ago. And then, how should we say this nicely? There was some like...
extreme weather in the UK. Uh-huh. Yeah, really, really. You remember that red warning that we got? If you listen overseas, we had some really hot weather recently. Uh-huh. And it basically like melted one of the hard drives and inside the studio, which is like inside a building. And it means that we lost the recording.
Yeah, we did. So
now that severe weather warning was real, let me tell you.
So now we're very, very lucky that this person, I should start trying to keep them shrouded in mystery.
Yeah.
It's the wonderful... Scarlett Harlot.
Cockney Princess herself.
Off of Drag Race.
Off of
Drag Race Series 3. So yeah, we spoke to Scarlett way back when. We had a lovely chat.
It was really such a good episode, wasn't it? It was like one of the best episodes. We were so good. Like nothing even about Scarlett. Like Scarlett was incredible, but me and Rob were like, we're fucking brilliant at this. Like we're really good podcasters.
So now we've
we're that great that we didn't even have the fucking recording.
Magic. You know what, actually, we tell a lie. The best part about the recording is that one microphone seemed to work and it was mine.
Yes.
So the whole episode
should we put it out? It's just going to be 45 minutes of Rob, but you can't hear the other answers, so you get the questions and every other
most,
question.
Probably the most popular episode, I'll be honest.
I mean, yeah, it'd be definitely up there with the most popular. Should we move on with the show?
So let's get the wonderful Scarlett Harlot in for round two.
Come on, babe.
Wicker.
Right, let's get her in then. Can we say a massive hello, please? The Cockney Princess. That is Scarlett Harlot.
Oh, that's
hello.
Sweet. I've got deja vu, or should I say
baby,
deja vu?
There is deja. Yes.
Bing, 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 bing. Plug, plug, plug.
Oh, he's going to get a paycheck for that.
Tick those things off in your contract.
Kind of intrigued to see how this is going to go, because we've already had a lot of this conversation.
We absolutely have, but honestly, I remember that I was let's say hungover when I recorded the last one, so I don't actually remember anything we spoke
about.
Now
you didn't tell us that. We didn't know that you were hungover.
No. I didn't tell you. I was trying to conceal it.
I did wonder why your eyes were quite glossy. They're quite glossy. They're actually quite glossy today, babe.
Yeah, are they? Well, I'm on a come down today. I was in a hungover. I'm not joking.
Yeah. Today's a come down. We're just spiraling through. You actually did have a date last time. Do you remember in Greenwich Park?
Oh God!
Yeah.
On a park that didn't really end up going well. Yeah.
Oh, I did not. Oh shit! No. I shouldn't have said that then, should I?
No, it's all right. You've just really brought up the trauma there.
I know. This is what the show's for—just like rehashing trauma.
Oh no! It's like being on Drag Race again, isn't it?
Cameras rolling, ding, ding, ding.
So speaking of Drag Race, I'm gonna go straight in with the first question.
Yeah.
Are you right, babes?
Yeah, I'm fabulous. How are you?
I'm all right. You look amazing. Honestly, your skin is so bright. You look so fresh and lovely.
Want to steal some of Scarlett's youth.
No, I do. I don't know what's going on, but like, I thought when you went sober, like things would just like go backwards and I start looking younger, but my skin is starting to age at like a rate, let me tell you.
It was your birthday last week, wasn't it?
It was about 2 weeks ago, 2nd of August, thank you.
Oh, how was it?
It was lovely. I don't normally celebrate my birthday, to be honest with you. I've always been the kind of person that likes to fly under the radar, but this is...
You fly under the radar?
I'm very subtle, what are you on about?
Oh my God, stop it.
But it's different now, because obviously being like, having followers and all that...
A celebrity?
Yeah.
I mean, you can say it.
You're a celeb, nah. Come on.
Listen, I was at the House of the Dragon premiere on Monday. They were celebrities, not me.
You look fabulous, by the way.
Thank you. Oh, honestly, I literally was up all night stoning that outfit.
Did you make it? I was going to say, because I looked at your outfit and I was like, this is great and this is very on brand. You didn't just have that like lying around in your cupboard, did you? You went out and properly got that.
So what had happened was I got that made for Drag Race and I got evicted before I got to wear it. So
I got evicted. Yeah, oh my God, that's proper East London council, isn't it? I got evicted.
Yeah, can't pay or take it away. Yeah.
What was the category for that one then?
Goddess, you know, when they did the comedy challenge.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. What do you call it?
Like they were dressed as angels. Yeah, that's it.
The roast.
I just stuck a couple of Game of Thrones themed bits on it and called it a day.
Can you give us the inside scoop? How's the show?
Oh, it was absolute. I tell you what, obviously I won't give any plot points away for anyone that's listening that's a fan, but it feels like the really mature younger brother or sister of Game of Thrones. Like it's got the really grittiness and like the raw kind of like good and evil side of it that we really loved about the show.
We love that, good and evil, don't we? We like a balance.
Yeah, we do.
We like to pendulum sometimes extremities as well, you know, from good to evil.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah, love that.
It is very good.
Really gorgeous. I think I double tapped that on Instagram, you know, I did give that a double like.
Oh, thank you so much, babes. Honestly, I appreciate you.
I feel like, and I think I commented, you know.
Did you?
I think I put a clap, 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 a yellow heart. Yeah, and a crowd. I kind of do that.
The thing is, right, I am the worst at social media because I'm one of those people where I don't like to, I try not to actively get consumed by social media, especially in the position that I'm in, because I always look at friendship groups when they're out, and you know when they're all like together but they're all on their phone.
Yeah,
like that.
That's
to me
and Rob.
Yeah,
we were just saying before you got here, we both feel like we've been on Instagram so much more recently than normal.
But we were saying it while we were on the phone. We were like, yeah, I mean, I haven't seen you for so long.
No eye contact at all.
All the time.
Kardashians all sat there on the phones like, honey.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the culture now, isn't it? And like, it's understandable, but I just try not to get sucked into that because it can be like a really... Well, you just, once you get sucked in, you're not going to come out. It's like a black hole, isn't it? And so I try to like keep my, I try to only ever use social media for work. Anything other than that, I don't watch people's stories and all that. I mean, I'll look at my feed and stuff like that, but I just don't look because then I'll just get sucked into it. And
You don't look at our stories, Scarlett.
Of course I do.
You don't sit there.
Yeah,
like, just
you remember
waiting.
That time you was wearing that yellow top?
Yeah, I do, actually. I'm so glad you remember. No, I'm so glad you think of me now when you think of yellow.
No, I think of you as gorgeous, babes.
I'll
you're
take that. Oh,
Do you have, you don't have to tell us the handle if you do, but do you have like a personal, like a non-Scarlett Instagram?
I do. It's my boy page. I don't mind saying, my name's Harry Mulvaney. Irish name there, that's why I'm so pale.
I know your surname.
Yeah, do you?
I do.
Don't what, start Mulvaney? This again.
He's like, God. I've had sex with someone called
Mulvaney. Oh, God, we had loads of Karen. But no, I do. Maybe because we're both from the East End.
Well, the thing is, that name's not very common. I am, but it's not common.
I'm glad you said it, darling. I'm glad you did it. I was going to do it.
Don't do it.
But we all know each other, innit? Like, we all just, like, your mum down there, like, down the chippy, like, as you're right there, yeah, cool, like we just know each other.
Yeah, I love East London. I love being from East London. I really do. Even though I've tried to level my pussy up a bit now.
Well, I can see your garments are looking fresh.
I know.
Listen, you got jewellery. You didn't have jewellery last time.
I've got an Apple Watch.
I'm a good, and like with a stainless steel strap.
I know.
She's big.
Honestly, I went from shopping in Primark to Zara. That's level up for me.
No, it is though, isn't it?
No.
That quick fashion.
When you're from East London, honestly, I wouldn't spend more than a 15 quid on a top or trousers. But now I don't mind, you know, 25 quid, 30 quid for a top. Oh yeah, I don't mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's great.
I never shopped in Zara in my life.
Do you ever return it though? Do you like to do that, like, you know, there's like a well known thing. I didn't know. Like I'm gonna call out my partner now. My partner does that. He'll wear something, he's gonna be livid, I've just said this, and then he'll take it back to Zara and he'll be like, oh, what's wrong with it? And he'll be like, oh, it just didn't fit. And that's bollocks. You wore it to a wedding.
He wore it out last night.
Do you do that?
Well,
I mean, we all
do
it.
The thing is, Zara costs more money, but actually it's just as cheap as getting it from Primark, isn't it? So it would deteriorate in a week anyway.
It does,
I mean,
isn't it?
I've got stains all over this top, but I won't say why.
That's interesting. I did wonder what they were.
White on when you walked in.
I know, they're all yellow now, but we won't talk about that.
So we've got to start by saying
we just got to start generally.
But we chatted. Yeah, we were trying to work it out, like maybe back in May. But who knows? Who's counting? Who's counting time? What have you been up to? What's been happening since then? I feel like from seeing you on Instagram that you have been super busy, and of course you're preparing for tour.
I am. All right, I am. The thing is, from my Instagram, I don't even think I seem as busy as I have been. It's just, again, like I said, I'm terrible because I know part of my job is being on social media, but I can't stand it because the thing is, I'm one of those people that if I see like loads of fit lads on Instagram or whatever, it really kind of like seeps into my brain and I'm like, oh, why don't I look like that?
100%.
So, yeah. So I just, that's one of the other reasons where I'm like, nope, not going to open it for my own mental health, blah, blah, blah. But I actually have been up to quite a bit. I had the best time of my life, as I said, on Monday when I did the House of the Dragon premiere. That was fantastic. Honestly, a dream come true to be associated with two of the biggest franchises in the world, right now, Drag Race and now this. And so that's super exciting. Just finished putting my song together for the tour, which is starting next week from the, ooh, I want to say the 30th.
We can edit it in.
From the blank of the beginning of September, let's just say.
There we go.
And it's very camp. I've done a lovely little medley. I'm not going to give away what I'm doing, but it's just, ooh, quintessentially like.
If you could give something, like just like, it could be a really it could be like a really obscure way of detailing what you're going to be doing. Did that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah,
give us like World of Wonder or Boss Events aren't watching this thing.
It's all right. They'll be fine. Honestly, you know what? I'll tell you what. Then it's got a running theme through it, right? Because I'm very conscious about the global crisis right now with all the wildfires and global warming. I do feel like Greta Thunberg quite a lot of the time recently because of what's going on.
Yes.
So I have made a running theme in my song. Where basically the theme is, look, listen, the world is going to shit right now, if I'm allowed to swear, and and so basically drag is here to heal us and to have a good time, because listen, we're all going to die from either a wildfire, a flood, or both, so or a disease or war from Russia, so we might as well just disco, have a good time, party it up, take some mushrooms, acid, or whatever. I'm not condoning that.
But if you do, you do, it's cute.
Nutmeg, apparently. Have you seen the TikTok?
No, what?
There's a TikTok that nutmeg is a hallucinogenic.
That's stuff in your cookies.
Really? Yeah. I'm sorry, but this is why kids get into trouble, because they're doing things with nutmeg and stuff that they shouldn't be doing.
But I love that. I love that approach, because I wouldn't have necessarily put you
thought
like
nutmeg
in
would oh sorry,
no, yeah.
Sorry. Put you in on like the political drag scene. That feels like quite a political message for you.
Yeah, well, actually I am. The thing is that the irony is that my brand that I like to sell is like camp, fun, blah, 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 and that is what I'm selling here in this tour. But I would say that I am quite political and quite like tuned into what's going on in the world. I do like to really know what's going on in the world, because listen, I've been to Amsterdam and I've dabbled in my fair share of hallucinogenics and all of that, and it has really got me in tune with what's going on in the with the earth and things.
Doesn't
of that
it?
Nature. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and I care. So I wanted to give a message of like camp funness, but on this grand scale of being able to be at the Palladium and whatnot that I'm going to be at.
Amazing.
I wanted to have a story.
Yeah.
I wanted it to not just to be like singing camp songs for the sake of singing camp songs, but actually we're singing camp songs because the world's going to shit, and so let's heal everyone with drag.
Nothing puts a mirror up to the world like drag.
Exactly.
I
well, I was going to say what I was going to do at the intro, but I'm not going to give
don't
it away.
Ruin
but
it.
I'll tell you guys.
I mean, keep
often.
Going.
Yeah.
We won't share it.
The angel and the devil.
Yeah, exactly. We're the extremities.
But it's so good. I'll tell you after, but it's so good. I'm really excited.
Yeah, you can tell us off mic, right?
I will. Of course. I'll tell you all the time.
Yeah.
Where do you start? Where do you start the tour?
I believe it's in Bradford, so we're really starting high.
Glam.
Yeah, no. No, anyone to in Bradford listening, please, you know.
We're not just
send
city.
All hate mail.
Don't.
Yeah, please, I've been to Bradford.
Please still come to the show.
It's great.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Yeah, it's really great. Yeah.
I actually know Queens in Bradford, so.
There's quite a lot of tour dates, isn't there? How many in total are there, do you know?
Oh, God, there's got to be at least 40 to 42 or something like that.
Like, in what period, though? Like a 3 month or?
A month and a half. We're doing like 5 days a week.
Yeah.
Are they doing the God shave the queens again?
I actually don't know.
I just saw they could come out with series two, which feels so weird because even your series like so long ago.
I know.
And now they're on like releasing series two.
Well, but they're churning it out like butter, so it doesn't, you know.
Yeah. Because we were going to ask you actually, one of the questions, we're kind of jumping around a bit here, but with Drag Race, obviously, you know, you're on series three, I believe. They've already recorded series four. I've seen the cast rumors on TikTok about a million times.
Right.
And then they've got, what, 14 odd series now in the US or something crazy. Then you've got France, you've got Italy, you've got Down Under.
Philippines is out right now.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's crazy how much drag queen, like how much Drag Race there is. And we're actually trying to figure out, trying to do a rough count, like how many of those 12 queens a series, like they've got to be plus 500 queens now from Drag Race.
Oh yeah, I think there's got to be near 200 American ones at least near.
So like, how does that feel for you? Because last time we talked, you were talking about kind of finding your place and carving your niche. Like maybe since last time we've talked, how was that? How do you feel now about that, given there are probably seven series that have happened since we last spoke?
Yeah, no, that's true. To be honest with you, it's... I think that... I don't know. I can just say that I am extremely grateful to be a part of the franchise, especially because I know there is so many, but we never know when the door's going to close. Mm. And if you think about the 90s, when RuPaul had that, you know, Supermodel World single, drag was huge then. But then eventually the kind of the public closes the door on that sort of thing, I find. And I think that the window of opportunity for this has been very broad and very large, bigger than it ever has been.
Yeah.
But I do believe that door is eventually going to close. And so my perspective of it is that I'm glad that I got in there now and was able to capitalize on the success of the franchise while the door is still open. Because I do think with all of the franchises that are out now, as camp and as amazing as they are, you never know when that door's going to close. And I just want to make as much money as I can off the back of being a RuPaul queen while it's still here, you know?
Yeah. Sasha Velour, I wrote a piece for Sasha Velour. I ghostwrote it. I read a thing from her... an article the other day, and she was basically saying the same thing about how drag is very much, you know, thrust into the mainstream, but drag also will go back underground. And
I do believe that
we're being pushed by conservatives, especially in the US, it's more so than here, targeting drag queens and pushing it underground. So you know, very much similar. Like, it would be interesting. I mean, bless her soul, RuPaul ain't going to be doing it for too much longer.
How old is Ru?
In her 60s, I believe.
60s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think that drag, for me, my personal view of drag is that it's inherently counterculture, and like, you know, drag queens are meant to be the ones that like chuck the rule book out the window and don't follow the path, the normal path that the most people would follow, right? So, but once something becomes mainstream, then you almost have to follow that pattern of what happens when something becomes mainstream and everyone likes it, right? So I think that, you know, if it becomes underground again, then that might be great for drag anyway, because then drag queens can go back to being the filthy, you know, bad mouthed people that they genuinely are, as opposed to being like the cookie cutter ones that, you know, go on TV to I don't know, do whatever they want to do.
These past couple of seasons, especially in the US, have been, because I think the UK started with its very unique charm, its very UK charm, but the US ones, when was it, like season 7, season 8, where it just took a massive turn, and like there was no more shading, there was no more, like the library was officially open, but on a very subtle level.
Yeah.
Like, ooh. And everyone was all like, ring of roses, cuddles. Like, what happened to the filthy reeds?
Well, let's look at it like this, right? Around season 7 and 8, well, let's say I think 6 really, is when it started to blow up. And then it moved to VH1 in America, which is when it really blew up. And then I think that's when the fan base just completely expanded. And then from my own experience, and I know this now being on the other side of the fence, that the fan base can be very extremely harsh, but also very loving as well. Mm-hmm. And I will never take for granted, and I would like to state this like very much so that I will never take for granted how amazing the fan base is, because I can wake up one day and feel utterly shit and look in my message request and see the most loveliest messages and think, how the hell can I not be grateful for all of the lovely messages? I'm not even doing anything, you know what I mean? I'm literally sitting here like a slob drinking my coffee and they're saying how amazing I am, and that feels, and that is so lovely. But I do think that because of the harshness of the fans that they can be, and they take it so seriously, it scares some of the queens in actually being honest and serious, you know, open about how they genuinely feel on TV.
I painted as a villain because Di Betty on the last series, she wasn't even bad in comparison to like Gia Gunn in series 6, who was just first episode iconic coming out with these one-line reads.
Yeah, it was great TV, wasn't it? It was
just trash. I think people get confused that people who are knowing they're creating a TV show, being super, you know, cunty and whatever, are just doing it because it's a TV show. Whereas now people take it personally.
Well, this is the thing, right? I played a character on that show. Am I the person that walks out of the room all the time? No, not at all. But you do that because you're creating a TV show and you're creating drama and it's all part of the experience, right? And so I did all of that because I wanted to create a good TV show. But I learned a very harsh lesson coming off the back of that, because doing it in the moment didn't feel like a big deal. But then I realized once it had aired, actually even little things like that that didn't feel big in my mind really kind of were quite... I don't know. It bothered a lot of people, I guess. And like, I became a bit of a target for people's hate a little bit when that was airing. So
it's got to be a villain, right?
Yeah. Mm. And you know what? You never walk into that show and expect to be a villain. And it almost was like, wow, it was so like, because as a drag queen and you get on Drag Race, it's like going to the Olympics. You think, oh, I won't be the villain. I'm going to win and I'm going to be amazing and I'm going to be really liked and X, Y, Z. Yeah. And then you do it and you create drama because it's a TV show. And then you realize, oh, crap, actually, you know, what I did, what I did was just like, you know, I gave all of the fans some crap to talk and to, like, to just slack me off and all of that. And, you know, you have to roll with it, don't you? Because it's a TV show again. And I would do it again. I would be more mindful this time. But that's what we said earlier. Like, you almost, if you don't want to get hate, you want to be nicer. And I would be a better reflection of my own self, which is more cultured and less slaggy and cockney.
I think that's maturity. Yeah, I think as we get older, generally. Because you're still quite young, babes, right?
I'm nearly 30.
Oh, nearly 30. You're like 25, right?
I'm 28. Yeah, but I taste 18.
Yeah. But just be fair though, babe. You look about 18.
Thank you.
Yeah, great. Really, it is a compliment.
I've got Benjamin Button syndrome.
You do. I mean, we saw you like 3 years ago. We recorded that episode and you backed out and you look young before Dragon. And you look younger.
Thank you. I don't know. Well, I've aged in reverse because, as I say, I've been able to afford Botox now. So it's fantastic.
Do you think I need Botox? Am I ready?
No.
I'm going to give you the honest answer, and yes.
I am ready, right?
Should we go?
Should we have a Botox party?
I will say this. We're going to hang out. Botox is preventative, so get it now before you need it. Because neither of you have lines, but I didn't have lines, but I got them because, I got it because, you know, first off.
Because you had money.
Yeah, it was free, but... It was
just do a cheap little plug.
Yeah, but it's preventative, you know, and plus also, as long as you keep that hat on as well, that'll keep
Yeah, that's why. Why do you think I got it on, plugged, babe? Yeah. Exactly, putting it down. So, speaking about, I mean, that's really big on mental health right there, right? And coming off of the show. How would you say, and it's a big one for us on the show, being thrusted into the limelight as Scarlett Hyatt and being all over the press, the media, being people sliding in, they didn't know you, and whether that's sliding in because they want to give you their opinion on something, like you just comment on there, or whether they want to tell you how much that they respect and, you know, you're inspired by you. Mm. How has that affected your mental health and your general, like, grounding on this earth?
You know what? That is... a fantastic question.
Thank you. I'm quite good at questions.
Yeah, you are.
He made it himself.
Sometimes they come out, sometimes they don't, let me tell you. But over to you.
Thank you, I'll catch it. You know what? I got to say that I have grown up immensely thanks to that show, honestly, because being thrust into that environment where, honestly, before Drag Race, inherently I am a loner, and inherently I am someone that will go about my business completely and utterly by myself and try to do that completely alone. And I'm very much a person that kept myself to myself and did my own thing. So when I went on that show and I was exposed to all of these things, and suddenly my life story was out there for everyone to see and hear and judge and talk about and all of that, right? I had to go through this journey of you know, not only of getting hate comments and then kind of reconciling that they're talking about someone that actually isn't me, but just a character that is on a TV show. And it was incredibly hard to reconcile the idea that they weren't talking about me personally as like an actual real dig at me, because I couldn't stand the idea. It was so horrendous, the thought that, you know, I would sit there and think, oh my God, these people are actually talking that they hate me. And I'm inherently a people pleaser. And so it was honestly very, very hard in that regard. And it really did force me to kind of like completely and utterly change my perspective on the world. And I do feel like that has made me grow up, and also it has completely made me see things in a completely different light. And I do feel I feel way more mature than I did when I walked in. I really do. Like, extremely grateful. I feel like also it's allowed me to almost take inventory on what's useful, like mentally, what was helping me and what wasn't. Because when you start getting people making opinions on you, you almost have to be like, okay, what am I going to let affect me and what am I not going to let affect me? Right? And you have to have that internal conversation. And I did. And thankfully, I am like very psychoanalytical. And so I kind of had to sit myself down and be like, look, are you going to let this bother you? Are you going to keep getting depressed? Are you going to fall? Are you going to keep spiraling? Because there was, quite honestly, I haven't admitted this anywhere, but there was quite a couple of months where I felt myself completely and utterly spiraling, because I couldn't stand the idea that there were people out there that didn't like me, because I am a people pleaser. And so I had to pull myself out of that hole, which was extremely hard. But because of that reason, it has really allowed me to grow up and again, like I said, see the world in a different way, because I had to, otherwise I would have spiraled.
Let's get some snaps in the studio for that. Right there.
I was going to say, even hearing you talk about it and how you talk about the active role that you, Harry, took in addressing those thoughts, that in itself to me is so mature, because I'm someone who suffers with mental health issues. We all do, but I would say mine are probably quite bad at times. And when I'm in that mindset, I can't change it.
Same.
I've always really, really struggled to talk myself out of it. So like hearing you talk about how under the intense pressure that you're under, like how did you manage to turn those thoughts around?
Honestly, I will say this, I completely understand you as well, because that there were months in which I was completely and utterly like debilitated with depression, I'm not going to lie. It was extremely hard, and I was picking up many vices that we pick up when we don't want to deal with what's going on in our head, right? And I went through that a lot, and I had to come to a realization that, like, while I was still doing this, while I was getting booked and things of that nature, and I would show up to gigs and I would literally, before I'd put my makeup on, I would like cry in the hotel room no reason. I would just cry like before a gig or whatever, and I would be like, why am I doing this? Why do I feel so unhappy, right? And then that forced a conversation in my head to be like, right, you need to address this now, because what you're doing is either I really picked up weed, by the way, so I was smoking myself into oblivion to kind of like make myself happy. But it came to a point where I was like, right, you need to work, you need to make money, this isn't going to last forever. And I had to pick up my big girl panties and basically be like, look, if you either want to work and do this, or you want to fall into a depression spiral, keep smoking weed until you literally are you've literally ruined your life, and you move on to other things. And it was a moment where I basically forced myself to address this situation, because it had gotten so far that I was I was ignoring opportunities. I was missing opportunities. I wasn't opening any of my DMs. I wasn't doing anything. And then it was like horrendous. And then the people around me were like, basically trying to give me a reality check because I wasn't doing anything. And
I completely recognize that feeling. That feeling of everything feels like it triggers the fight or flight mode.
Yeah.
You receive a message, or I'm talking about me. I receive a message on my phone, and when it's at its worst, that feels like an attack.
Mm.
And I'm like,
yes.
I'm like,
but no one's attacking
leave
you.
Me alone. Like, yeah. I just
okay,
want
to fuck you up. You're like, oh, that, wait, okay, cool.
It's like, oh no, they're just texting me to be like, how are you?
Literally that. Yeah, but doesn't it feel like it's that feeling, right? Of when you're sitting there and you're like completely consumed by your own thoughts and all of the kind of like impending doom that you've got in your head of like what your life feels like in there. And you'll get a message, and I almost felt like there was one time where I turned my phone off and my mum nearly rung the police because I just wanted to completely and utterly escape from the world. I didn't want to text. Didn't want to have to look at my phone. I wanted to sit there and just do nothing. I wanted to not essentially not exist.
Yeah.
Mm. You know what I mean?
That's exactly that feeling.
Yeah. And that was the problem. I was, every single day became a day in which I didn't want to exist. And then I didn't want to keep waking up every day and being like, I could literally fall into this bed right now and never arise again. And how is that going to help me? I need to survive, right? I need to do this. I've just been given an amazing opportunity, and yet I'm here squandering it massively. And you know, unfortunately, I'm the kind of person where I only pick myself up by the bootstraps when I absolutely have to.
Yeah, it's like the end.
Total like, last resort.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm here with you. Yeah. Extremities. Mm. It's that pendulum of, and I think most creative people or people that are broader thinking or whatever you want to describe them as have that way about them. It's you're either going to be consistent in the middle and that's your life until you die, and God bless you if you are that, because that's a great way to be. Or you pendulum from one extreme, but then you pendulum like you were on the top of the peak when you was on Drag Race and you just came off, you didn't know what was going on. Like, that's just life, isn't it?
But I know, but you know what, but this is the thing, having these conversations, right, it helps in that regard as well, because like it does feel extremely like it's just you. And also that feeling of not wanting to exist is like the worst feeling ever, and I truly don't ever want to even get near that feeling again. And I know that, of course, like you said, pendulum, that will come back eventually, and with things that go on in life. But I need to have tools in place to be like, okay, when that happens, I can't fucking let myself fall down that hole, because it is too easy for me to just jump down there, because I will. Like, if I'm given the opportunity, I will just leap down the rabbit hole, because that's easier than actually doing the work and getting up there, getting out of bed, replying to a text. You know what I mean? I get one text and I'll be like, oh, for God's sake, now I've got to reply to people.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
And again, it's just, how are you?
Yeah,
it's just exactly. Like a one text message. Drag and is really heavily entwined with music as well, right?
Yes.
And musical references. And growing up, I remember like seeing, I used to watch like Tu Wong Fu, Thank You for Everything.
Oh, love.
Oh, amazing. But all that drag artistry there, but also like a lot of female lead artists for me inspired, not that I'm a drag queen, but I had many a day that I would get into my nan's airing cupboard and get those sheets out and
kitten heels,
make a Greek goddess dress, let me tell you. I still do it today, actually. Anyway, the point is, it's really entwined with music and artistry. So, like, who are Harry's? Oh, great question. Two parts. Who are Harry's musical influences versus Scarlett's musical influences?
Honestly, I think that they're one and the same. I think Scarlett is definitely an extension of me. Scarlett is me, because as you say, I'm an...
and I am Scarlett.
Well, yeah. I know. Bam, put that in a book. But I am... I feel like... I am an introvert. Harry is an introvert, and I am a complete, as I say, I am like a loner, and I do think I'm very like self-sufficient and whatnot. And so Scarlett is the version of me that is like the part that is like the show off, right? Yeah. And it's like the exuberant part of me, because I'm one of those people that, like, I can have tons of energy and I like to expel that energy, but once that energy has been drained, I am absolutely shutting the door. Yes. And bye-bye, don't talk to me, end of.
Some people just don't get that, do they?
No,
like,
exactly.
I need to recharge my batteries. It's like, yeah, but I do that with people. I'm
no,
like,
babe,
I don't.
Yeah. I had a friend like that. I was
go
like,
away.
Please, you don't understand. Like, I'm not trying to be rude, but I need to recharge my batteries and I need to be alone. Yeah. Like, you know, and that's
fuck
not...
Fuck off, Jenny and McKay.
Literally. I had this conversation. I'm so happy we talked about it because I've got to talk about it. We had this conversation this week with my partner. There's a Cat Burns song, which is called Ghosting. Mm-hmm. Which is about, like, I just don't take it personally. When I need to take time for me, that's how I recharge, is on my own. And you might be, and people might perceive you as an extroverted person because you've got bigger energy and characters and all that kind of stuff. Mm. But actually, most people are introverts, and you don't recharge next to a friend or your partner, and you need that moment on your own. And exactly. Sometimes people don't understand that. It's like, I just need to sit on my own. And whether I'm on watching YouTube, or I like to watch Katia and Trixie on YouTube. Their show just makes me so happy. Like, that for me recharges me. Exactly. I did some light admin the other day, and Rob was like, because I was having a moment, I was like, and Rob was like, what did you do for you? I was like, I did some light admin and some invoices. He was like, James, that's not relaxing. Yeah. I was like, yeah, but you know what? Like, it was on my own, me and my PC, playing some music. I was playing Flow, I love Flow. And I was just like, it felt like a recharge. Mm-hmm. People need to understand that you recharge on your own sometimes, and that's all right.
And the lesson in that is that, like, it is not, I had to learn that it's not rude or selfish to ask for that, because I know what I need. And also, I'm sorry to say, but listen, if I don't get the chance to recharge, then, mate, you're going to end up getting screamed, shouted at, or worse.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not getting the best of me.
Yeah, exactly. And
Jillian McKee.
Yeah, so that's what you got to do. But I think
musical influences.
Musical influences.
Shirley Bassey,
yeah.
How the fuck did we get over there?
I don't know.
We're on the other end of the pond.
That's true. I do like to jabber on, but what was the question? Musical influences.
Yeah.
So, Shirley Bassey, because she's very camp, and also I'm going to be at the Palladium, so I'm so excited about that, because she's performed there for the, obviously, Royal Variety many times. Judy Garland. I love captivating performers that were like camp icons, but not modern day ones. Yeah. Not modern day ones. I like the ones that were like ones that almost were a representation of gay culture when it wasn't cool or good to be gay. Do you know what I mean?
There's that idea that we looked up to these, looked up to these, like, divas who were subverting, like, gay stereotypes in the media because you couldn't see a gay man in the media. Yep. So we looked up to these people, we're being like, that's us, that's kind of how we are.
We're Shirley Bassey. Yeah.
And that speaks to me, because I do feel like an old man trapped in a semi young boy's body now. So,
you've got an old soul.
Yeah, I do a bit. Yeah. But again, like I said, because I spend so much time alone, I do. I've always been the person that, like, instead of going out with mates, I would sit and listen to watch all of Shirley Bassey's performances from up until when she was, you know, when she first started. And same with Judy Garland. The famous line, Judy, Liza, Barbara, Bette. Love them all. Yeah.
Judy. Yeah. Oh, it was really sad recently watching Liza come out on the stage, get wheeled out by Lady Gaga.
She could barely speak.
She knew what she was doing, where she was. I thought it was really sad. Such a great performer.
But it was a nice moment between them two.
It was beautiful, but I kind of also felt like, was there distress there? Like, does she want a cup of tea? Like, do I need to kind of give her a cuddle? Like, I know Lady Gaga looked after her, like, we love you, Gaga.
Well, the problem is, I think that with someone like Liza, I bet that she's got loads of people around her that are like, yes, 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 yes. Yeah. And I'm sure there are people out there that probably might not look after her very well, but hopefully she's okay. But it was sad to watch. I did watch that.
It was sad, wasn't it? What about newer musical influences? Like, who are you into?
Okay, I will say one of the newer people. Honestly, I don't really listen to newer people, but one person that I do love, I fucking love disco music, all right?
Yes.
Because again, disco is disco is a great representation of gay culture when it was like, you know, it is that kind of moment of being like the fun and fabulosity of being gay in a time when it was also, you know, it was like a dichotomy, because when that was around, it was like people were dying of AIDS as well, right? Yeah. And so I love the idea that, again, bringing back to my tour, the tour song, I love the idea of like, things are going to shit, but gay and drag are going to save the world.
Yes.
Right? And so that really kind of speaks to me. And so, going back to the question, I love Jessie Ware because she's someone that had
bought.
She's so good.
I love that she's found this.
You were saying
disco
this.
Glam and her confidence as a performer. I saw her at Primavera earlier this year. It was an hour show. I didn't get to go see her actual show, which was even longer, but she, they're like energy, dancing, choreo, like Jessie Ware of 4 years ago. Was doing none of that.
No.
And like, she just has this amazing, almost like drag queen-esque confidence about her.
Yeah. And also that disco album that she brought out, it was everything I love about disco, which is like when it's got that almost like raw sexualness to it. And, you know, instead of it being like, bah, 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 which I also do like that, but she had, and also there was a song that she brought out, What's Your Pleasure, right? That was, the music video was just this queer man that was just like sexually trailing all around this hotel, motel room. And it was so camp. And then, you know, she was just, she really represents something that I really enjoy about music. You know, and disco to me is just like mwah, chef's kiss. That.
Massive props, Jessie Ware. We love you.
Indeed,
we love you, Jessie. Oh. I said to Rob the other day, I was like, yeah, Jessie Ware, let's get her on. He's like, Beps.
She has the most popular podcast in the
world. Like, I don't think she's gonna want to come on our podcast. I'm like, yeah, but you don't know.
If you literally do get her, please let me know, because I'll be waiting out there for an autograph.
You come in, we'll do like a joint one, yeah?
Oh, she wouldn't want me here, babe. No. I don't think so. But, you know, she'll have her own little moment.
Come in for a
so
third
fabulous.
Time.
Yeah, we'll exactly. Come in for, oh, no, don't say that. Fingers crossed.
I know, please.
Well, speaking of, it's kind of crazy. It feels like it's gone so quick, but we are out of time.
We are out of time. Gosh. I mean, your time is done.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
We'll see you later. Good night, God bless.
Have I been evicted again? We'll see you
in Wait, how did Davina would do this? Like, without shuffling her card. Like, oh, you do Davina better than I can.
What, McCall?
Yeah.
Harry, get your things. I'm coming to get you.
Bring your gin.
Big Brother's coming back. Would you apply?
Oh, absolutely.
You would
I applied
be a
before.
Great person to go on Big Brother.
I know, I would love it.
Let's make it happen.
Yeah,
I really want to go on it, but I want it to be like completely normal people. I want it to be like a farmer, my nan, and like the postman.
Yeah.
Like, I just want it to be really normal people.
My dog goes off at the postwoman like every morning.
It's like your dog can
listen,
Big Brother.
We go out and the dog like goes for her. My dog is the cutest little thing. She's mini. And she goes, blah, blah, blah. She knows when the postwoman is like walking past the house. And
see,
she's
there's
the
some
door,
bad
like,
energy there.
She's on it like a car
on Big Brother.
Love to see her on Big Brother. Anyway. You know, sorry.
I was just going to say, I hope it's not full of influencers, because then I would apply. I want real people.
No, because then it just becomes like Love Island.
Exactly.
But in Elmstree.
I'm not shitting on people that do Love Island. But
Elmstree. Yeah.
Right, well, listen, it's so lovely having you back. Thanks for coming on, babe.
Such a pleasure.
Part of the furniture.
Oh, I am.
Yeah.
Part of the furniture. Well,
good luck with tour.
Yeah.
Thank you so
much. We're
going
to come see you.
Yes.
Oh, please do.
Where do we get tickets at? We need to get tickets.
Oh, please do. I'll see if we can get you some seats.
Oh, yeah. Let's know. We'll definitely be there. We'll have like a poster and shit. We're going to make it.
Oh, yeah.
Get some crayons and stuff.
I love it. Love it. Good luck, babes. And thank you
so much. Thank you.
Bye, Scarlett.
Ta-ra, sweetheart. Go.